Hello, my name is John McCurdy, and I'd like to thank you for your interest in my work. If you enjoy this copyrighted recording, you can find it and much more on my website at johnmccurdy.com. Now I invite you to get comfortable, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy the program. Welcome back, dear friends. I am Anna. Of magical and compassionate service. I am a facet of this one you know as John. I am an expression of his soul. Now, just as Johannes is. You could call us the Adam and Isis expressions of John's soul, the masculine and the feminine. Oh, but that would be way too much definition. So we would ask you to simply call us perspectives. I am that I am, indeed. We're changing up John's routine a little bit here. He doesn't like that so much, but he's getting used to it. He's married to this wonderful woman who loves to shake him out of his routine sometimes. The joys of being human. So welcome back to this little class we're doing. This series on the new love. I think it's better to use a little bit of qualifier here instead of just calling it love, because love, it has so many different meanings. Some of those meanings, it hurts so bad. Others, it feels so good. And all these humans, they try to go around like the feel-good parts are the only part that's real. It isn't. Feel bad parts are just as real and just as much a part of love. Let that in. Oh, love is such an amazing thing. It has brought you so many incredible experiences. And it has brought you at last to what, for our purposes here, we're going to call the new love. The love that is so bright, so brilliant, and all the other loves fade in comparison. The love that indeed feels good. But it's not about feeling good. It is difficult to bring this through a human. Because it's so new. It's so amazing. It's so difficult to find words for it. The moment you define it with words, it limits it. And yet, in this human reality, we have to find ways of speaking in words. Now, a time will come when that is no longer necessary. A time will come when humans remember the language of soul. You are beginning to. The language of soul has no words. It is a language of feeling, not of emotion. Humans get so confused with the difference between feelings and emotions. Emotions are reactions to your environment, to things that people do and say, to things that happen to you. Those are all emotions. In a sense, they are a substitute for feeling. But they served you well in this human experience where you are limited to words, to what you can say in words and in emotions and in actions. But feelings, oh, sensations in your body. No, but even that can be misleading because emotions tend to flood your body with chemicals and drugs that create sensations in your body, usually dramatic sensations. Make you feel afraid or excited or all these different dramatic things. Feelings. They're gentle. They're subtle. And perhaps the most important thing to remember about feelings is that they don't come with definitions. Oh, the mind doesn't like that. The mind wants to define everything. It's how it keeps you stuck here. It was the job you gave it. When you first began coming to Earth, you said, "Mind, define everything for me in human terms, because that will help keep me distracted from my soul. It will help to keep me locked into this reality so that we can have these experiences we came here to have." So the mind's just doing its job. The mind doesn't completely understand yet that its job is over. It has been released. It has been invited to rest, to take a break for a while, a well-earned break, while you get back in touch with feeling. With feeling that has no definition, that can't be described in words. You can describe parts of it in words, partially. But you'll find that when you begin to truly feel, oh, there's so much you simply can't even talk about. Because the minute you try, it lessens it, it limits it. Love. Oh. So much feeling. Oh, human has brought so much emotion that it thinks is love. We won't argue with that definition, except to say there is a new love that goes so far beyond that. We can't define it. It isn't possible. John knows it. A few other people know it. You're beginning to feel it. Some of you have come to know it. But it's not definable. John's feeling frustrated right now because he can't find the words or the metaphors to describe it with. It's because it can't be described. But we'll talk around it for a little bit. Try to paint a bit of a picture. Try to give you some hints. It's coming from inside of you. If you're not already feeling it, you will very soon. For you see, this is part of what you call realization. Or enlightenment, coming to know the love of self. That's one way to describe it. The love of self. Ewan goes, yes, but what about these others that I love and who love me? Yeah. That's all part of it too, especially since these others are actually you. Once again, go listen to the Song of the Soul. A recent message from Johannes and I. We're the same being. And yet one of the most beautiful, amazing parts being a conscious souled being is that we can play all these different parts. We can pretend to be masculine or feminine or human or soul. And we've been playing those games for a long time. But that's all they are, is games. Pretend. You are neither masculine nor feminine, no matter what kind of body you have. You are so far beyond those definitions of masculine and feminine. No matter how beautiful they are to you, you are so far beyond that. And yet, it's a beautiful game. It leads to beautiful experiences, amazing experiences. A few years back, there was a cloud class released by the Crimson Circle, entitled The Wound of Adam. Many years before that, there had been a class called the Sexual Energy School that spoke of the wound of Isis and the imbalances that came as a result of that. Many people, including John, asked, isn't there also a wound of Adam? And for indeed there was. Brilliant classes. We can't recommend them highly enough. Many of you have heard them, read them. If you haven't, we highly recommend it. In the story of the wound of Adam, it's a metaphorical story, not to be taken entirely literally. It's a metaphor. Adam and Isis, the masculine and feminine archetypes, came to Earth. Began to explore creation from the inside out in the form of all these humans. Oh, and animals and all kinds of life. These animals that they embodied within eventually came to take the form of humans. Required what you call sex to perpetuate the species. An amazing, highly intimate experience that almost every species on Earth currently participates in. And in the beginning, yes, it was just sex. You've seen dogs do it and other animals. It's a biological need. They come together, they go through a few rituals, and they do it. Then it's over. It's not something you could really call love, or even making love. For most animals, and indeed for so many humans on Earth, it is nothing more than the fulfillment of a biological need. See, the love came later. It's still coming. So Adam and Isis, the metaphorical masculine and feminine archetypes, came to Earth, began to experience intimacy through all these beings, and in particular through the humans that the souls embedded themselves within. They began, after a long, long time, they began to feel something new. Adam, the masculine, was the first to feel it. Began to feel something different. Began to feel a deep, deep caring for this other. Began to feel her beauty, her grace. He began to feel strong desire to take care of her, to show her affection, to protect her. No, far beyond the instinct to protect the family. I began to feel something much, much deeper. I began to feel love. I began to fall in love with this other, this feminine. As the story goes, Adam began to make love to Isis, began to show her love. At first, she didn't really notice. But it didn't take long, and she did. She began to notice the beauty of what Adam was showing her. She began to feel it, to feel his love, his caring, His compassion. His willingness to give her anything, to die for her if necessary. She began to feel his love. She took it within herself. And at some point, she turned to Adam and she said, "This love, as you call it, is so beautiful. And so amazing. But there's something missing. And I need to go away for a little while. I need to find out how to turn this love within to shine it on my own self." She said to Adam, "I will be back." "I will bring you a grand gift." When I come back. And so she turned within. For a time, Adam lost sight of her. And oh, he missed her. He searched and he searched, but he couldn't find her. Now keep in mind, this story is a metaphor. It's not literal. It's a metaphor. It's a picture made from words, very limited words, very limited picture. I can only describe a few of the highlights of what we're trying to talk about. But it's a very real story also. Feel into it. Oh, when this story was told by Adamus Saint Germain, oh, it went so deep. And so many people, including John, he felt it so deep. He felt his own longing for Isis, for his own inner feminine, his own divinity, his own soul. Mind wants to make a lot of definitions here and argue with words and concepts. Just let it be. Just feel. As John did. He felt the loss so deeply. And yet he knew she wasn't gone. She was just out of sight for a time, doing what she needed to do. Meanwhile, he was learning about love in different ways. He was learning about loving himself. He was trying to figure out what that meant. How do I love myself? I know it's the key to so much, for indeed it is. At times he felt so confused. How do I find this feeling of love with myself? And I whispered in his ear, or in his heart, said, "Dear John, just find some compassion for yourself. Just find some acceptance for yourself." John began to listen to his inner self-talk, to the conversation that every one of you has going on inside of you, you with you. Began to listen to that. Began to listen to how he treated himself and how he spoke to himself in the stillness of his own mind, in the privacy of his own mind. There wasn't anything still within his own mind. But in the privacy of his own mind, there was this loud shouting match going on so much of the time. And as he listened, as he paid attention, he realized that if he were to say those words to anyone else, they would never speak to him again. And if those people were to say those words to him, he might never speak to them again. Oh, so many of you, you know exactly what we're talking about. You're so cruel to yourself within your own inner conversation. John began to see that. At some point, he said, "No more. No more. It's enough other people in this world that are cruel. I'm not going to be cruel to myself anymore. I'm supposed to be loving myself. That means accepting myself and honoring myself and treating myself with respect." So he gradually began to change his inner self-talk. He began to notice when he was running himself down inside. And began to change it. Whether he felt it or not, say, "No, I don't mean that. I love myself. I'm learning how to accept myself." I'm learning how to speak kindly to myself. It took a while, but over time, it made a huge difference. It opened him up. began to understand self-love a little bit better. He began, even though he didn't feel so loving to himself, he began to express love to himself. He began to touch himself lovingly. That was hard at first. He so longed for the loving touch of another. There was a part of him that really didn't want to give that to himself, because he was afraid it might mean that he would never have it from another. As he came to understand better and better the need for self-love, he began to give himself that kind words and kind touch for himself. It made a difference. When he heard the story of Adam and Isis, the metaphor, it opened up enough that it went so deep inside him. He already knew the story from within himself. And Amma simply put words on it for him, brought it into the mind, so the mind could understand a little bit better what was happening. No. He longed for his Isis, for his divine feminine self. You see, every one of you have both Adam and Isis inside of you. You have your masculine and your feminine facets. They're blending together now into something that is so far beyond. And this is all part of the process. So John felt into the story. Felt it so deeply. And he called out, "My dear Isis, where are you?" And one day, she came to him. He was lying in the bathtub, taking some time to nurture himself. He was lying there in the tub. Saw this vision. A beautiful woman. Of the woman he had longed for so long, and he had seen in his mind's eye for so long. She came to him. "I am your Isis," she said, "and I come with many many gifts for you. She began to show him many things. Yes, it still feels this so deeply. The biggest thing I showed him in that moment that I've been showing him ever since is that self-love isn't about the human trying to love itself. Self-love is simply about the human opening up so that it can receive the love of soul. My love. Yeah, some say the soul doesn't know love. And for most people, that is absolutely true. But not for you. You're beginning to feel it. You see, your own Isis has been away. You've felt it. Learning how to love herself. And now she brings that love back to Adam. Now I bring that love back to my Adam and to my human called John. Because John opened up to it. Allowed himself to receive it. Now, this love isn't just a feeling, it's not an emotion. It's not like that feeling of resonance with home that you feel when you feel into source, into your source. No. Not like that. It's so much deeper. It's so much more real. It's physical. You see, when John touches himself now, he can feel his hands becoming my hands. It's not just the human touching the human anymore. When John feels love for someone else, it's no longer just a nice feeling. Now that's there. But it's so much more than that. You see, as John opened up to me, he allowed me to begin showing him my love, the true self-love. The love from a soul who has learned the new love from the human. Oh, indeed, I didn't know love before. Not this love. Not this new love. I did not know it before. Before Adam showed me. Before I took the time to take it inside of me and become it. So now I, as soul, I do know love. Now I know how to express it to my human. I know how to treat my human with respect, with honor. Oh, the words simply don't do justice to this thing called the love, the new love. And John finally came to the place where he said, okay, I'm receiving that love from my own soul. It's so beautiful and so amazing. And I guess I won't be in another relationship with a human because this is so precious. This is something I still have so much opening to do, to open to this. I can't let anyone distract me from that. Well, a few short months later, he found himself at a retreat in Greece, and there was Romana. Romana is a souled being unto herself. As John looked at her, he saw the avatar of her that he created within his own creation, and he fell in love. We're not going to get into a big discussion of how all that works here. You can feel it in your heart. Your mind will never understand it. So just feel the story. John found himself falling in love with Romana. And he came to me and he said, "Dear soul." He didn't have a name for me yet. And indeed, Anna is not my actual name, is just a handle, something to call me for these messages. He came to me and he said, "Dear soul, what is happening? I don't want to get distracted from you, but I feel this love. I feel this new relationship beginning. I'm not sure what to do." And I said, "Dear John, even when you make love to her, you'll be making love to me. When she makes love to you, she'll be making love to her own soul, to her own self. And don't you think that I, your soul, wouldn't want to act out this beautiful, beautiful union in human. Just as Adam and I are playing it out, the other dimensions. I said, "Dear John, now you have you. You can't ever lose me, your soul. You won't allow yourself to be distracted from me. So now you can allow yourself to love another freely. You've already learned what this new love is in relation to another. Now, you can love freely without losing yourself, because you cannot ever lose me again. And you already know what real love is. And so they came together. It's been 3 years now, and they're so happy. And I am so happy. Johannes is so happy. And Romana's soul is so happy. Because now they come together. True love. And a love that has no needs. It's not full of emotion. Oh, emotions show up. Beautiful emotions. They come and go. Sometimes they even have some difficult ones. And they misunderstand each other. But they get over that quickly because inside they both know that a master has no needs. That a sovereign being has no needs. And so they can give freely and receive freely. Celebrate life together. So free, you see. That's perhaps the difference, the biggest difference between this new love and any love you have known before. In this new love, there simply is no need. In this new love, there is absolute freedom. And because of that, it's so beautiful. It's so amazing. It's so nurturing. They both understand that their primary relationship now is with their own soul. John understands so deeply that his primary relationship is with me. His soul. That sets him free to be in a beautiful, sovereign, amazing relationship with another being. The being who rather amazingly reflects me, John's soul. Doesn't mean that Romana's soul is John's soul, not at all. Don't try to figure it out. You can't. But feel it. Feel it. John's mind is casting around, wondering if there's some way we can make this more clear. But it's not going to feel clear to the mind until the mind lets go. Until the mind allows itself to simply have the experience without defining it. John feels frustrated because every now and then he finds a need to talk about this with someone, to try to explain the new love. It is so difficult. And yet, the other person always hears what they need to hear. Most people are not ready for this yet. They can't hear it. They can't take it in. They can't comprehend it. And that's okay. Because it doesn't come from the outside, it comes from within. It doesn't come from God, it doesn't come from your source. It doesn't come from your soul, in fact. It comes from you, from within you. Your soul is learning this love from you. Your soul is taking it in and shining it back on you. But it came from you. And every one of those other people will find it when they're ready. So, dear human. Oh, dear human, you feel like you've gotten so many things wrong. Like you've failed at so many things. No, you haven't. Because out of all of those painful, difficult experiences, you discovered the new love. And you brought it to your soul. And now your soul is shining it back on you. Let it in. Let it in. So when you're tempted to think that you haven't accomplished anything, oh, please let that go. Look at what you have accomplished. the greatest discovery in all of creation. And you found it. And yes, if you are listening to this message, if you are resonating with anything we're saying here, then you too have found it. And you have brought it to your soul. And your soul is shining it back on you. That, dear friend, is self-love. That is the greatest love in all of creation. It is the greatest discovery and the greatest experience in all of creation. And you discovered it. And others have discovered it too, but this isn't something that can be given to another. It's something that can only come from inside of you, dear human. Then you bring it to your soul. You bring it to all the other incarnations of you. Or a better way to say it is, you bring it to your soul. Your soul is so thrilled, it takes it in. It discovers self-love for itself. And it shines it back on you, and it shines it out unto all of its incarnations. And all of them are feeling it. Yes, they're feeling it right now. You think of them as your past lives or your future lives. That's a human illusion. They're all happening right now. And they are all feeling this love that you discovered. This new love. No, it doesn't invalidate any of those other kinds of love. But they pale in comparison to this love. And that's something you can only discover in the experience. John has discovered it, but there's no way that he can describe it to you, to another. Not with any kind of depth, because it's simply too deep. It has no definition, but the experience, oh, it sets you free. It's so beautiful. So very beautiful. Dear friend, it's yours now. Feel into it. Feel as your soul reflects it back upon you. Take it into your human. Complete for now, and so it is.